Man, let's welcome our online crowd. God bless you guys. Thanks for coming. Really happy to see my parents here today. My dad's back there. My mom is sitting over there. Good to have mom here today. We've missed you. It's great to see you back as well. So, hey, did you know what's the difference between a well-dressed man on a bicycle and a poor-dressed man on a unicycle? Attire. Somebody back there. Oh. Hey, we're in week two of our series, Walk It Out. And you know me, the Lord uses me in practical things. I want to talk to you about just walking out these things of God instead of just saying, I don't know how that works. I don't know how that, you know, when we talk about the kingdom of God, how does that work? Is it just, because we have this concept. We've all had it. We've grown up with it. That God just arbitrarily chooses, this is who I bless and this is who I don't. And that's not how covenant works. That's not how the kingdom works. And so I've been preaching and teaching about this for years, and God is putting it into practical order. I'm very thankful for our headship pastors, Gary and Drinda, and their insight and wisdom that they've brought to Kim and I's life. But, I mean, just how the kingdom works. Are you I don't know about you, but I'm excited that God has changed my mind and helped changing me to how the kingdom is and just how wonderful it can be just to be on God's team and see, you know, we don't have to wait till Sunday to see miracles. And, you know, sometimes what we see miracles, they're not really miracles. That just happens because it's laws in the kingdom. But we don't see them often, so we go, it's almost like your kid cleaning the room. It's a miracle. You probably put that on their list a long time ago, but, you know. So, anyway, we're going to talk about walking it out, and I'm excited about that. This is week two. We talked about Rise Up. We'll talk a little bit about that today, and then into the second part of this message, or the second part of this series, about taking the journey. There's a real sense, I don't know if you, but I feel when I know I'm in the right place at the right time, and I'm in God's will, right in that center of His will. And I love that. But there's also something that we, and I've been guilty of it. So before we get started, let me put this disclaimer out. There's no throwing rocks. I'm not throwing them at you. Don't throw them at me. I mean, you can. I'm an easier target. But I'm preaching to myself, and I've learned some of this. So I'm trying to help you to learn some of the things that I did. And sometimes I learned them the hard way. And if you don't have to go through that, just take some notes and go, oh, okay. there's some time, I really know I'm not just talking to me. God has spoken to some of you, and you're supposed to do this. Maybe in your own life, or you're supposed to change this, but you haven't. You know you're supposed to, but you haven't. I'm going to get around to it, but when? I'm going to believe God for that. I still believe for Him, but I'm not going to really do anything to make that happen, because, you know, I know God loves me, and you got to understand, nothing you can do will make Him love you more, and nothing you don't do will make Him love you less, or do, if you do it wrong, He will still love you the same. It's just a perfect love. I know that are prospering, not just financially, but are happy, they're living their life on purpose, they're people that get out of the boat. There are people that take risks. They're motivated. God made them for something more than just existing. They don't want to just survive. We all know what survival mentality is, don't we? From paycheck to paycheck, or we just can't wait till Friday because Friday means the beginning of the weekend. And we hate Mondays. It's Monday. Time to make the donuts. All of those things go through our mind. But what if we had a mindset? Because it's, I owe, it's off to work, we go. What if we had a mindset that was different? That wasn't what everybody else's mindset is. Would we not stand out a bit? I don't want to just take up space. I don't want to just exist. I want people to know, remember when we used to do that? Remember when we did the... And you, how many remember somebody that you just love being around them and they moved away or something and you're like, you go, oh man, I miss them. Because they always brought so much fun or so much joy. Don't you want that? Don't you want, like, I want to... There are people that you're glad when they show up to the party? Yes, they're here. There's people that you're glad when they leave the party. Yes, they're gone. Don't point at your neighbor. You were all made to be somebody special. I want to pass on what God has given me. I want to pass the baton so that his kingdom can go forward if Jesus tarries. Work can continue. Jeremiah 1, 4, and 5 says, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nation or nations. God doesn't look at you and when you see what you can be, he already knows. I mean, that's not crazy when we're kids. What do you want to be?
I want to be an astronaut. I want to be a firefighter.
I want to be the president.
Yes.
We need one of those. Did I say that out loud? But he made you. There are people out here. I don't know. Facebook just said, boop. If you're watching me, just watch it from the website. Facebook shuts me off every week. Just go to the website. It's much easier. But God knew about you. He knew, like, what strengths he put in you, what you can do and what you can't. I mean, it's amazing. Things that you could do, maybe I couldn't do. My kids do that. I'm like, I could never do that. Sam was like 4 years old. We had an evangelist stay at our house. They called him, I don't know if he's still alive, Poppy Swint. He came and he had a car that had one of those things that had the numbers, so you'd have to put in whatever number to unlock the door. And I'm, you know, Sam asked,
what are those numbers for?
And so he said, well, that's if you want to, you know, if the car gets locked and I don't have my key, I can hit in that code and the door opens up. And Sam said, what is the code? And he said, I don't know. I've never figured that out. And we went inside and we were visiting with him, and Sam came back in. He scribbled down on a piece of paper. He said, here's your code. We're like, what? He said, this unlocks your door. I'm like, dude, you're four. I can't even do that. And the evangelist looks at me and goes, wow. But God knows what you have, the gifts, the talents, what you can do. Psalm 139:16 says, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. So God has written in a book every single day of your life what it's supposed to be. Now listen to me. He doesn't control you and make that come to pass. You have total control. You don't have to be in God's will. See, people just think, well, everything happens, it must be the will of God. No, it's not. But there's a whole nother teaching series on that. You have the free will. If it wasn't your will to choose him, then that's not really a choice, is it? You have to be able to have that will. He gave that to you. Most of us haven't seen God's will in our lives because a lot of times we just coast. We get to something and maybe we get pretty good at it. We take life as it comes and we don't go after anything that causes us to stretch a little bit. We take the safest path, no bumps or turns. We don't want to take any risks. We're afraid of failing, so we freeze and we don't do anything. I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about your neighbor, so point at them and say, the Lord spoke to me earlier this year, and I shared it with you guys, and I shared it with the dream team, that I was limiting God by my small thinking. And so he is pushing me, or guiding me, let me just say that. Pushing is a strong word. Guiding me to follow. I have to choose to follow. So let me put it that way. Psalm 71, yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. And he's talking about the Israelites that came out of Egypt. But then he says that to me, you are limiting me. Because in my mind, I think this. How many remember when we did that for like 8 weeks? We took money, we put something, we sowed a seed, and in 8 weeks, we sold things and brought it back. We gave like $2,300 to the church camp, the Pastor Gary's church camp. So we sowed into that, which they were like, that's awesome. But you know what? I mean, in all the people that we have at TLC, if you think about it, $2,300 isn't a whole lot of But we did sow it, and so we believe God for that, that we will be able to sow it. So I'm looking forward to years to come that students will be able to enjoy the camp that we sowed into. But we've limited God because we always go through our mind of what we can or cannot do. Well, I can't do that. And if I was to give this amount, how could I do that? Because we go through the one system that we know, painful toil and sweat. For me to do that, I'd have to get another job, and I'd have to... The disciples did that. I want you to feed these guys. There's 20,000. It would take 8 months. So you go back and look at the account. It'd take 8 months even, because they're going through that same scenario. Come on, Jesus. But you see, Jesus isn't thinking in the world system. And he was telling me, Brett, you're limiting me. And after all these years, you'd think I'd have that down, but not me. Sometimes I've been a work in progress. Well, I still am, but I'm getting there. But I've made some adjustments, and now I'm taking more risk. I'm getting out of the boat. I'm going to be presenting to you guys in the near future some things that we're going to do to expand on the facility that's going to be like, oh, my word, look what God is doing. And sometimes, I mean, you know, I look out and I'm like, Lord, but we need more people. And this is what he told me, and I just said it to PK. So if you're new, PK was Pastor Kim. She's sitting up front. She was on the keyboard. She was the pretty girl on the keyboard. So anyway, I said, Numbers 11:23 says, his arm is not waxed short. And I'm like, so see, I'm limiting him in just my thinking. Well, it would be better if we had 50 more people on a Sunday. Well, duh. Yeah, that would be better. But, you know, you can have people that just get into the kingdom and say, you know what, God? You want to use me? Here I am. Can I just be, well, I wouldn't be anything but honest with you, but doing this church has been a challenge, to say the least. We started this church, and Pastor helped, you know, he set my salary, but he didn't give me salary. Here's what you know, didn't set any of that. We hired a payroll company in the beginning. We didn't. We had to figure out taxes and everything. Challenge. Very tough. But there are times that, you know, we did everything. We didn't have a building. We were at our house, and some of y'all remember that. We had a house out in Morrill, and we did everything the church did through the week was at that house. We had our harvest party at that house. One time we had, I'm going to say, over 200 people or something at the house. I mean, everybody brought their friends, their in-laws, their outlaws. Everybody came. And I think that was the year somebody fell in the pond. And then one of our dream teamers dove in the pond and saved the day. Got the kid out, which, you know, was all cool. But anyway, I mean, it was all, and there were times I'm like, Lord, I don't even know how we're going to, because her and my mindset was just painful toil and sweat. I owe. I got to work more. I got to do this. I got to go here. How am I going to do that? Well, and so we would put everything first, which you would think, well, you should. But, I mean, I would put everything, and I'm like, I don't even know how we're going to do it. I mean, pay bills to survive, let alone pay for church. And we're meeting in a school, which they didn't let us meet for free. And so, you know, just doing all of the things, and I'm not saying that, oh, look at us, but what I'm saying is I'm being honest. Now, here's my point. I went to a men's Bible study at Faith Life at Pastor's Church. I didn't want to go. I had a bad attitude. I was upset. I didn't want to go. And I told her, I don't even want to go. I mean, and these thoughts are going through my mind. I'm ready to quit. I'm done. We hadn't got paid in like 8 weeks. It's not like I had a reserve going, whoo. And so, you know, it was just a struggle. Our kids didn't know that. We weren't telling our kids, you know, that. You don't want to tell your kids, we have no money. You'll be lucky to eat for the next, you know, you're not going to tell your kids that. So we're just like, okay, God, what do I do? So I felt I was supposed to go to this meeting, and I didn't want to go. My attitude was bad. I went there. I didn't say anything to anybody. They said, hey, PB, it's great to see you. Great to be here. I'm just going to pray. That's it. I don't know what else to do. Pastor Gary wasn't even there. And a guy came up to me and said, can I talk to you for a minute? And I knew he was on his board, and I said, sure. And he said, we're supposed to take a love offering up for you. And this is what I said. No. I would classify as one of the disciples. I said, no. And I said, Pastor isn't here. I didn't come here for a love offering. I came to pray with you guys. We love you guys. I didn't tell him anything that was going on. Didn't tell him anything. He said, well, we're going to take up a love offering. I said, I'm not going to take it. There again, duh. And he looked at me and he said, listen, I just got off the phone with Pastor. And Pastor said, yes, take up the offering. Pastor doesn't even know. I didn't tell Pastor. He doesn't know any of that. 17 guys were in that meeting. I'm telling you all this. And so the reason I'm telling you is there wasn't like 500 guys, you know? 17 guys, $2,700. 17 guys. Shut the front door. I'm going home. I'm on my phone. My wife, she's like, what's the matter? I just got $2,700. I mean, thank you, Jesus. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm not going to quit. Do you understand? It doesn't matter. I mean, yes, do we want to see this place filled? I vision it filled. I hope you do. But let me just tell you, when God is involved, it's full, whether we think it is or not, because it's coming. Come on, it's coming. Because if we preach the truth and we do the truth and we are integral people and we follow the rules of the kingdom, faith works every time. There's some people that, you know, what I had to preach to myself last week. I have to rise up. I have to stir myself up. I have to get myself motivated. Because listen, if I don't stir myself up, who's going to? Who's going to stir you up? David had to encourage himself because the people, they're going through it with him, but they got their own issues. Come on. You don't tell everybody all your dirty laundry as far as like I'm worried about this or I care about this and all of it and how are we going to pay that and all that. You better stir yourself up. You have the Holy Spirit living inside you. You cannot tap God out. You know, he has endless resources. You cannot tap him out. Well, that's too much. No, there's nothing too much for God. Nobody alive is making God say, now, wait a minute. I don't know. We're taking that out of the pantry. We might not have it. He's not doing that. Or Brett, come on, slow down. I can't keep up with you. God's not saying that. He can fulfill not just my dreams, but your dreams. Because if our dreams are in his will, it's going to happen. You can't outdream him. You can't wear him out. So I don't know about you, but I'm dreaming big. You know, this building was put up in 92. Tom, is that right, 92? I don't think the parking lot has ever been touched since the day it was put up. And the wonderful doors you came in, very attractive. We've made those as best we can. But, you know, we have plans to figure things out with the parking lot and things. God, what do you want us to do and what phases? We're going to be bringing those ideas to you, and we're going to get this thing done. And we're going to make a statement to this city and to anybody that wants, oh, wow, what's happening? It's the kingdom of God. It is God. We want, now, this is a building. You are the church, so please understand. But he has blessings in store for you to demonstrate his kingdom. You don't need to be ashamed of that. I used to be ashamed of that. I'm sorry to say that. But people would come into my house before and I'd have to explain, you see this table? Oh, man, that is a beautiful table. Wow, I should be a senior pastor. Oh, we got that table in a wreck because it was a payoff because somebody back-ended us. And I remember the Lord like almost pulling me off the side. Hey, Brett, what are you doing? I'm just telling him how I got the. You don't have to explain anything. So then they'd see something real nice or something, you know, how'd you get that? Well, and, I'd try to downplay or try to whatever because I don't want them to think I'm like, why don't I just say, you know what? God just does it. I quit hiding all that stuff anymore. I'm just like, okay. People say, how do you do this or how do you do that? God. How'd that happen? God. Why? It's just because demonstrating the kingdom of God rising up and saying, there has got to be more than just playing church. 2 Kings 7:3, Now, these are bad times. What we're about to read, times were really bad. Worse than COVID, okay? People are eating poop. That's nasty. If you don't think that's nasty, we do have a deliverance team, and we'll pray for you right after service. Literally, get that out of you. But, I mean, they're paying for stuff, and they're eating their own kids. It's not good. 2 Kings 7:3, there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, "Why are we sitting here until we die?" What a statement. Why are we sitting here until we die? How long are you going to sit in where you're at until you die? And then you'll be like, okay, game's over. You get one time to go around this life. I know this keeps going in and out, I think, so hopefully most of it comes. You know what the definition of insanity is? Doing the same thing and expect different results. Just do the same thing over and over again. They've never given you good results, but just keep doing it. It's okay to do the same thing over and over again if it's productive. But to do it and never get anything, that's insanity. It's insane to think that God's going to change everything without you changing. We always ask God, you need to change that person. God usually changes you, doesn't he? And helps you. And then, you know, he still changes them, but he has to change you. Let me just say, change doesn't come from the outside, but it comes from the inside. So when he tells me, Brett, you're limiting me, I said, okay, what do I need to change? I had to start changing my thinking. I had to start changing what I did. Or the way that I did what I did. I had to start meditating on the word instead of me. Let's just say, it's okay to pick topical. I'm just going to pick this scripture. Okay, we do that. I get that. But what if God is trying to tell you something and you need to think about it? You just need to stir it a little bit inside your brain. Now, dudes are different. We tend to be more like microwaves. Bing! All you ladies should say amen to that. And the women are more like crock pots. They just like to think things over. They just kind of, I like the way that feels. I don't know, just checking out, you know. I get it. But I had to change. I started taking the limits off God. God, just because I think this, what do you think? Well, Brett, you can't ask God that. Why can't I? We're connected. His spirit's connected to my spirit. Wouldn't it be wise if the Holy Spirit is to guide me in all truth to listen? I had to change me. Listen how quiet that is. You want what God has promised you? He'll give it to you. You have to change your way of thinking. 23:7 of Proverbs, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. You see, your life is the way you think it is, not the way you wish it was, praying it is or should be, but it is going in the direction of our thoughts and our mouth, because life is in your tongue. It's in, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And because of what you think in your heart comes out of your mouth. So if you don't think good thoughts, if you have a certain kind of mindset, let me just say this, if you're sick all the time, now before you throw anything, please don't, your thinking is sick. Now listen to me before you get mad. I'm not saying you're thinking you want to be sick. I'm thinking you have accepted it. It's just part of, people tell me I have allergies, that's just what happens this time of year. They're mine. Do you really want to say that? Is that what you think? Because that's tied to why you have them. We're limiting God because sometimes it is, God, you are omnipotent. We sang about it. You're awesome. But the doctor says this. And we'll take the doctor over God. Now, God uses doctors. Please don't get me wrong. Do you know how many incurable diseases God has cured? People that were scheduled to die due to cancer that lived because God healed them. You see, when the doctor says something that is not according to the Word of God, it doesn't mean that that's fact, because God says, I can change that. But if you think it's fact, you think it's truth, and you believe it, you limit God. You see, how many times does Jesus say, your faith has made you well? Think about it. You could limit God. Why? Because he won't cross your will. If you don't want to believe that he's the God that heals, he wants you to believe that. But you will limit him. Remember I told you the story of the disciples that couldn't cast out the demon? You remember that? And they tried, and the kid fell down in the fire or whatever and had a seizure. And Jesus said, bring him to me. And Jesus said the same thing. And what did the kid do? He did the same thing. He fell down, had the seizure. Jesus just didn't leave. And the demon had to. You have to understand, it is God's will for you to be an example to the world. If you're poor, many times we're thinking poor. When I, you know, sometimes in my mindset used to be when I go to buy something, we'd buy the cheapest, sorriest thing that we could afford. Because we couldn't see ourselves affording anything else. Kim and I got most of our clothes and the kids' clothes through Goodwill and through whatever, because we would just go and she would get great deals. There's nothing wrong with any of those places. So again, don't get mad at me. We still go to those. But she'll only buy the things that, listen to me, that she wants, not that she has to have. Sometimes we couldn't afford the real thing, so we'd have to buy a knockoff. So, you know, back in the day, Coach purses were, are they still a big deal? Do you have a Coach? Well, we couldn't afford a Coach, so I bought an assistant Coach. It was a knockoff. But what was happening is, you know, it's just like, okay, I get it. Charles, my father-in-law, he's with Jesus now, but I love Charles. If Charles got me a gift, it was always going to be a Craftsman. If it was a tool, it was always the best. I mean, it was just like, do you ever get one of the tools that were just some kind of an off-brand, and if you tried to tighten a screw, it broke the tool that you're using? I always knew if I got something from Charles, it was always good. How about if you go out to eat and you want to leave a tip, and you want to leave a good tip? Some of us, that's hard, and so we think, okay, 10% is this. If 18%, what's 20%? And sometimes we treat money like we're Gollum and the precious. The precious. You know, we don't want to give it up. My folks and my mom's here and my dad's here, they were frugal to say the least. My dad told me, he said he was so proud at how he'd earned because he was cheap. He loved that. He had a name for that. He would serve Tom, his own pop, and make Tom think Dad was buying it when Dad was stealing it out of his cooler the whole time, giving it back to him. Thought that was great. My mom, she's here right now, would clean out a jelly jar or peanut butter jar till there was like nothing in it and take water. Got to get every bit. I'm like, Mom, this doesn't taste like jelly. It's fine. Eat it. We'd go to a restaurant, and we weren't allowed to get pop. We didn't get pop because that would be a big part of your meal, you know, because it would be so much, you know, you do all that. So we would get water with lemon and put sweetener in it, and Mom said, it's hillbilly lemonade. Mama, can I have some more hillbilly lemonade? We'll take some more water. Can we have some extra lemons? Thanks so much. And we just put it and we make lemonade. Well, Brett, you don't know what I've lived through. And there are people that have lived through the Depression, so they went through where everything was just like, you know, trying to get whatever they could get. And I understand that. And they're used to scraping. Couldn't waste any of it. Back in the day, Kim would save coupons. And we will use coupons today. so don't get mad at me. But there, do you know anybody that's coupon crazy? If you're in here, don't point at them. They'll drive clear across town or to another city to save 50 cents. But you're going to spend more than that in gas and time just to go get that. But they were like, I have a coupon for that. That was kind of our mindset. We came up through that. Sometimes, you know, dad would have two jobs or mom worked at Murphy's. Remember Murphy's downtown? Remember the subs? You'd go in there and smell those subs and the onions on those subs and stuff. She worked at the candy counter some too. I always liked that. That's how I got to love chocolate covered peanuts. She'd bring those home every once in a while. But they were always working because we were just trying to make ends meet. What I'm trying to tell you is perspective, balance. Don't waste money, but know that God, there are laws that will help you more than meet your needs. But my mindset wasn't letting me see that. I couldn't see any other way, and I would go back to the old mindset, even with the church. Some people see themselves poor, and they always want this and want that. What would it like to be not poor? To be able to just be like, okay. I used to dream very small. I knew one kid that was told very often by his mother, you'll never amount to anything. He was told that all the time. Guess what? He's a man now, and in his mindset, he doesn't amount to anything. Can't keep a job, all that kind of stuff. You see, what happens is we paint a picture, and we need to rise above it and start a new journey. God has a promised land for you, and it's not the wilderness. And how long will you put up with it of just staying in the wilderness? It's time for you and me to just rise up and say, okay, God, show me. Let's go on the journey. Let's do this. Let's get out of the boat. If the horse is dead, dismount and find another ride. 2 Kings 7:3-4, there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, why are we sitting here until we die? If we say we'll enter the city, the famine's in the city, we'll die there. If we sit here, we'll die. Now, therefore, let's surrender to the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we'll live. If they kill us, we're going to die anyway. That's pretty much what they're saying. Here's their options. Let me ask you, ladies and gentlemen, what are your options? Some people just fear so much. I don't want to fail. I don't care what people think or whatever. They stay miserable. They need to just, okay, God, I'm going to take a risk. I'm going to rise up. Jesus, if that's you, tell me to come and I'll do it. How many are going to get out of the boat or you just want to stay there? I often wondered what the conversation was when Jesus and Peter walked back to the boat. The Bible says they walked back together. That would have been awesome. I mean, I would have had a little swag if I was Peter. That's right. I was walking with Jesus on the water. I don't believe you were, Thomas. I doubt you even had the faith. I mean, there's probably people inside the boat going, I was going to get out, but I saw Peter get out, and I didn't want to steal the thunder from him. You know, who knows what was going on, but you know what's happening when we don't do what we're supposed to do? Inside, we just are like existing, and we're missing out. We're missing out. Maybe not physically, but we are mentally and emotionally. The blessings of God, if we just keep the attitude of the world, we're missing out on those blessings. There's a joy and satisfaction that we can't experience unless we do something different. Perfect timing for God. You are in the right place, and the next thing you know, you're witnessing someone, and you know you were there on purpose. That's amazing. That's happened to Kim. It's happened to me. I'm sure it's happened to you. To know. Everybody say no. The peace that you get when you know, this is what I'm doing. This is what he wants me to do. I don't have to pray and beg, and I just have it because I'm doing what I was called to do. Some of you are like, Brett, I want that. I want joy and peace. I want that. I want to find out what my purpose is. You got to quit thinking small. Some of you are still thinking about, but you don't know what I've done. Jesus paid for that. You don't know where I've been. Jesus paid for that. You're limiting God. He can't use someone like you. That's what you're thinking. How can he use me? That's what I told him. When he called me, I heard him audibly, and I'm like, you don't want me. And he's like, yeah. Well, he didn't say, yeah, but yeah. I've been close to death before. And I got to say, I wasn't afraid. I didn't, you know, I was just trying to tell my wife to tell my kids I love them. And I was telling her I loved her. I wasn't afraid. I knew where I was going. Paul says, absent from the body and present with the Lord. But Jesus is coming back. And if he tarries, we all have to go through that. But praise God, we have answers. Remember the song, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. That day, I wasn't really rejoicing. I didn't want to go. I mean, I was not afraid, but I didn't want to go. I'd rather stay. If you want to succeed at failure, just do nothing. Stay where you're at. Play it safe. Take no risk. Most millionaires, when they've asked him on their deathbed, what would you do different? Because, see, that's what people want in the world system. That's why the lottery is so popular, because it's like money with no work behind it. And that's what everybody wants. I just want to be, I want to have no bills, I want to have all the money, and I don't want to work. You might say, that's carnal. That's where most of us are. Well, I'm not saying you don't have things you like to do, but I'm just saying we don't want to have to toil and sweat for it. Most of them said they lost out because they were afraid. They wish they would have did more. They didn't take many risks. I want to believe so hard that I'm like, Lord, sometimes I have people in my life now that I'm like, how are they doing that? How is their church exploding? And how is they're writing books and they're doing this and they're doing that and they're traveling and they're speaking? And I'm like, how's that happening? Well, their thinking isn't small. Their capacity to handle more has been like, Lord, what do you want me to do? And if God says do it, they just like, okay. Do you ever have people that you love, but they can talk you out of everything? My grandma was like that. I loved my dad's mom. I'd be like, Grams, I need to take off a few pounds. She'd say, laws. I don't really know where that word came from, but laws of Massey, whatever that word means, I'm not real sure. But laws of Massey, you need these potatoes, Bretzy. And she'd slap them on my plate. God would want you to eat them potatoes. He grew them. Now eat them. And then you'd eat them. My mom's sitting here. Mallory, we let mom watch the kids one time. Mal said, Mama wouldn't let me get up till I ate my green beans. Because she's part of the Clean Plate Club. Had to eat all your food. I don't think that we can believe too hard. We can say we did too much. Trusted God with all that's in me. Wouldn't that be great to be able to say, look what God has done? I want people to go, I wish I'd have did that. I wish I'd have taken that risk. So anyway, these lepers look at their options. We'll die here. If we go to the city, they'll kill us. We go to the Syrians, they might let us live. If they don't, they'll kill us. We're going to die anyway. What are your options? The worst thing could happen. What if you believe God and you fail and you get embarrassed? Did he just ask me that? I did. Get out of the boat. Can I just say, Caitlin has never baptized anybody. But four students wanted baptized Thursday night, and she's like, okay. And we were joking back in the dream team room. I was like, Caitlin, pull them up. Oh, yeah. The kids probably are like, do you accept Jesus? I don't know. I can't understand him. But she did it. She got out of the boat and said, I hope this is right. I'm sure it was. They get released today from the hospital. No, they don't. They're fine. But God looks at things different than you and I do, doesn't he? If you try and don't succeed, he says, man, thank you. You were so close. Let's do it again. Now, my daughter, I taught all my kids how to drive their cars. But before that, I taught them how to ride their bikes. And Mallory, I remember, you know, and she was just like her mom. She's just tiny. She's just a little pea. She's just tiny. And she'd be like, Daddy. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to hang on this bar. I got my hand on the seat. Here we go. Pedal. Pedal. Then I, Daddy, don't let go. Okay, okay. Then I tell her, now I'm not going to hold on to this, but I'm going to hold on the seat. Then you just pedal. You're doing good. You're doing good. Then I said, I'm going to let go of the seat. No, Daddy, don't let go of the seat. I'm going to let go of the seat. No, Daddy, don't let go of the seat. I'm like, it's all right. It's all right. So I put her on the blacktop, and by the time she got going, she was going to ride in the grass because I figured if she crashed and burned, she'd hit the grass. Not as bad as blacktop. A little more forgiving. I let go of the seat. She did like five pedals in the grass. I'm like, Mal! She got up and goes, yeah! And I was like, yeah! Now, as a dad, what if she crashed and I said, you idiot! You're so dumb! You'll never, I mean, we don't do that. When she couldn't get it, we just helped her do it. If she messed up, we loved her all the more. Man, I appreciate you trying. Thank you. It's going to be great. You're going to be great. You got great balance. Here's what we're going to work on. You got this part down. Let's work on this. That's what God does with us. You don't have to do everything perfect. He's waiting on you to get out of the boat. Are you going to sit there till you die? God doesn't mind you failing. He wants you to try. And he encouraged you to keep going. You know what he's looking for? People that will believe him and try. He's looking for that. Remember we talked last week about a holy dissatisfaction? We can't get our answers, some of us, because we're not going to do what he's told us. So we just kind of block it. Maybe you're small thinking like me, and you limited him. You have to change. You have to change your thinking. So they take the journey, 2 Kings 7 and 5. They rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. Nobody was there. It's significant for the time that they went, and the reason I'm saying that is because it says it's at twilight. You don't hear that word too much, but that's like towards the end of the day. Maybe you're sitting here saying, Brett, I am this old, and I'm in my twilight season. That's, you know, people ask me all the time. We went into one store, and the lady goes, you have any discounts? I said, I don't. And Kim goes, yeah, senior. Thanks. It's the white hair. But anyway, maybe you're saying, I'm too far gone. I haven't done anything to this. I'm too set in my ways. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. Oh, yes, you can. You got to change your way of thinking. You know, Moses didn't do anything until he was 80. It's not too late. You're not too old. It's time to rise up and take your journey. I don't care your age. You're not too young. God loves you. He'll teach you. You don't have to despise your youth. He'll show you. 2 Kings 7, 6, and 8. I'm just going to paraphrase all of this. The Lord caused them to hear an army. They heard horses and soldiers and whatever, and there wasn't any, but the Lord called. And they fled the camp. They just left in a panic, leaving a trail far behind them. They left everything there. Food already cooking, clothes, money. These guys go in, find stuff, take it, hide it, and then they go, this is wrong. We need to go back and tell people. They send out scouts because they figure if the scouts don't come back, they're going to die anyway. And they came back and said, it's just like they said. And so then the whole town goes out to the camp, and there's a whole story with the prophet, and the one guy said, this is what bread will cost, and yada, yada, yada. And I know I'm paraphrasing, but he gets trampled. He never makes it out. And the prophet declared that. Now, bringing all this to close, bringing all this to reality, we really don't know. We weren't there other than what the Bible disclosed. This is what they heard. But these lepers went from busted and disgusted to so much money and stuff, it wasn't funny. They went from zero to hero. They were banned, and now all of a sudden, they bring the message of salvation back to the city. Why? Because they took a risk. They looked at their options and they took a risk. They rose up and took their journey. How long will we sit here? Till we die? It's time for you and me. And just, I mean, it's time to get up. We want to see this city something. It needs people like you to be the witnesses for the King. If you want to shoot at the target and miss, that's, most people are doing that. They're shooting at nothing. But let's aim at something now. Even if you try, let's just try. Remember David? What's the cause? Jesus is my cause. Philippians 4:19, my God supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God is not limited to the U.S. economy. He's not limited to the Dow Jones. It's what God says that matters. God can bless you in the middle of a recession. Can I get an amen? See, I was limiting him. It's not easy for me to say that. But your success is according to your faith, not this economy. God said he chose the weak things of the world to confound the wise. That's in 1 Corinthians 1:27 through 29. And he did that so he would get the credit. I mean, if I was God, I wouldn't have picked me. But through me, listen, he does miracles. He heals people. I'm like, go figure. You see, this is what happens. I'm the jumper cable. I get that. But God is not looking for as much my ability as my availability. Would I get out of the boat? Would I take the risk? Am I willing to believe him? He's not looking for the silver vessel. You know what he's looking for? The surrendered one. I'll do it. Send me. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? It's time for you to rise up and take your journey. I'm willing to do something. I want to find out his purpose for my life. And when he says do it, that's what I'm going to do. So it's time for us to take our journey. He's got something unique just for you, specifically for you. You can't do what somebody else is. He doesn't want you to be somebody else. He wants you to be you. I tried being somebody else. I stunk at it. I was no good at it. My wife said, we already have one of those. We just need you. As ornery as I am, I don't know that there's another one. That's probably, my wife is like, thank you, Jesus. You know, Satan's going to try to keep you from following God, so he'll try to give you multiple visions to dilute the one vision. Listen to what I'm saying. Two visions is division. What does God want you to do? You have to stay in your lane. Everybody in here has got a thumb. Look at your thumb. It's got a unique print on there. Nobody else has the exact print that you have. God did that. So in God, you are thumbbody. You are unique. You are special. Can I say this? Not everything that is good is God. Or not everything that is good, God wants you to do. We've tried to do something that was good, but it wasn't what we were supposed to do, and we got out of our lane, and it was bad. We didn't have any success with it. Romans 12:1-2. I love that scripture, and they'll put it up on the board, but it says this is our reasonable service. It's for everybody. It's our reasonable service. Our minds get renewed, and we will prove. Everybody say prove. We'll prove what is the good and perfect will of God. You'll know your purpose. If you go with God and get God inside you and you meditate on what he's telling you, he's going to show you his will and you will prove his will in your life because he's going to change your mind. Spending time with God in his word renews your mind and it shows you and proves what he wants you to do. You can be a living sacrifice. You're like, what's that mean? Don't let it scare you. It just means you're going to do what he wants you to do. Some of that's going to cause you to not do what you want to do. He might say, I need you to go talk to this person. I need you to pay for that meal. I need you to bless them. I need you to pick this person up. Then you might be like, I don't want to do that. But what if he's telling you to do that? If you seek him, you'll find him. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. We quote this, but we forget the verses that follow, the 12 and 13 of that. You will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. If I have one of the questions people ask me all the time, Brett, what is God's will for my life? God, will you tell me what your will is? I mean, can you do it in 3 minutes? My show's coming on. You're not going to find out that will that way. You have to have your whole heart. And God will show you his purpose. He won't force himself on you. He's already written in his book what your life's supposed to be. Whether you're a boy or a girl, you don't have to wonder that. That's stupid. You can't change those. If you were made a boy, you can go have surgery, but guess what? You were a boy. If you're wanting to be a girl, that ain't right. Your color, your talents, God made all that. He made you for a purpose to take your journey. I'm going to have him put on some music quick. So here it is. Now we're at the end. You're like, thank you, God. But we're here. Are you going to sit there till you die? Now, if I have the people in here that I had last week that are on the prayer team that I called, if you want to come forward, you could come forward as well. We're going to open our altars here in a minute. But I want to take the journey. I mean, to go to a Bible study I didn't want to go to, what happens if I wouldn't have went? I wouldn't have got $2,700, I'll tell you that. What goes on that way? You see, there's always a blessing in obedience. I want you to look at me, and he wants me to share some of this. I'm not going to, he's telling me to be selective. He's taken me and Kim on a journey that we haven't been to this level ever before, ever. Miracles of when we had a house before and we started the church, it was an hour and 45 minutes away. And in the beginning, I'd get the kids up at 5 in the morning. I'd load the van with the sound equipment. We'd get to the school. I'd set the sound equipment up. We had to sell our house. We didn't know where we were going to live. And, you know, and us, we're like, oh, it would be so cool to be able to, you know. And honestly, when we left Marion, I wasn't saying, let's go to Marion. I mean, I had offers to go different places, and the Lord said, Marion. Okay. So he takes us on this journey. We end up getting a house. I still don't know how we got the house. Crazy. Got a house. It was a gorgeous, beautiful house. And we had everything at the church there. Like I said, we had the harvest parties and all that stuff there. And he is just continually, as we walk things out, he would bless us. I still had to struggle with the same limited mindset. And I think you guys can all understand in your own, you probably still have struggles. I'm so used to this way. How do I think another way? I keep wanting to go back to this way. And I'll do my best to teach you the kingdom as God shows me and we learn it. And he's, you know, in that interim of different places, he's had me give away jewelry, money, of course, computers, cars. Gave away several cars. And then I started teaching you all on finances. And I was up here and he said to me, I'm like trying to keep my mind on something. He said, you need to give your SUV away. I'm like, I've already done that, God. And he said, yeah, but it's been a while. Okay. So I did. So I gave away my car. And so for 2 months, you know, sometimes you think this is going to be great. I'm going to give it away. There'll be another one sitting right like somehow we're on what's behind door number three. No. So I went for 2 months, 8 weeks without a vehicle. And so Kim helped me get to places. You know, I used her car. Well, it's our car, but it's kind of her car. And then Maddie, bless Maddie. Maddie would just be, she'd come to the office with me, and if she didn't work till later that day, she'd just sit here and go back to Kidstown, straighten it up and do whatever. She never complained. I love that kid. And I sat there, and I'm in that walk in between the amen and when it shows up. Isn't that the tough time? It is for me. Because of Mark 11, 23 and 24 said, we believe, we receive when we pray. So Kim said, well, what are you praying for? And I told some of the guys, I said, well, I would love to see a 4Runner or a RAV4. That's what I wanted. She said, well, which one? I said, I don't care. She said, well, you need to pick one. I didn't want to pick one. Because part of my mindset was if I picked one, then that's really specific. And if I didn't pick one, I could always fall back on my old mindset. I could make an excuse why it didn't happen. Isn't that what we do? If it doesn't happen the way we want, we'll come up with a reason. So she said, no, you need to pick one. I love how wise she is. She's not only pretty, she's smart. I went to the dealership and I drove a 4Runner and I drove a RAV4, and really, there wasn't really any comparison in the drive. She's like, what do you want? I said, I want a 4Runner. She said, okay. Then she told me what color I wanted. That was a joke. But it actually, my favorite colors are red, white, or black, because it's like the Starsky and Hutch Torino, you know. So I said, I'd take a black one. She goes, no, you want a white one. I didn't know that, but thank you. I do. I do want a white one. But actually, we saw one, and it was beautiful. And I pointed it out to her. I said, there it is. That's what I want. She goes, that is sharp. So we made it specific. Okay, I want a white 4Runner. Limited, because I didn't know there was three different kinds. Limited is one with all the bells and the whistles. Now, you can sit back there and say, you don't need that. Think whatever you want. But I'm like, God, if you want to get me a car, I'll take the one that has all the bells and the whistles. And so that's what we believed. We sowed the car. That's what we believed. 8 weeks later, and I was saying all on that journey, I didn't owe on the SUV I gave away. So I didn't want to owe on this 4Runner. I came up with this plan, a strategy to pay for it. And my strategy didn't work out so well. But the Lord already knew that, but I didn't know that. And I was supposed to get some money that I wasn't counting on that would pay for the car. I'm like, cool. So it won't come out of my budget. God, you're so good. Thank you, Jesus. Well, that strategy didn't work. And I still stuck to my guns. I said, then God will pay this thing supernaturally. I won't ever make the first payment. And I told the guy that sold me the car from the car dealership, I said, I'm never going to make a payment on this. It'll be paid off. And he looks at me, and he's a wonderful guy. He's been here. He visited church. If you're watching now, I love you. He said, okay. Kind of like that. Okay. I pulled into the dealership because when I got the car and before the payment was ever due, it's paid for. I've never had to pay a cent for this car. God paid $35,000 for that 4Runner. I don't owe a thing on it. I pulled into the dealership and said, hey, remember what I told you? He said, yeah. I said, it's paid for. It didn't come from this church, so that you know. Didn't take it out of any church money, so that you know. Wouldn't do that. Just in case you're sitting here wondering. No wonder he's doing a fundraiser. That's not how we work. Everything is, above board. We'll always do that. We do everything legally, and we'll always be legal. So the Lord spoke to me earlier today, and I know I'm taking a couple minutes. Can you just help me? I'm supposed to share this, so I won't share a whole lot. I won't share every detail. But he spoke to me when we, he told us, we moved onto the boulevard. We moved from the house that I told you where we first started. We moved to the boulevard. Part of her dream was to live in a brick house on the boulevard. And we did, and we loved it. We lived there for 3.5 years, but we knew that wasn't where we were going to stay. And so we tried to move and buy a place right here in Marion, just outside of Marion. We put offers on 3 places and got outbid on all of them. The place that I live now, we saw first, and we passed on it because it was 30 miles away. It's gorgeous. Some of you have already been there. It's a phenomenal house. I mean, it's chimney 34 feet to the peak. You know, it looks like a vacation lodge almost. It's beautiful, but it has Kim's taste in it, my taste in it. But it's 30 miles away. So it takes me about 40 minutes or so to get to work and back and all that. And he told me in a dream, he told me, move closer. But, you know, part of me starts going like, well, why did you have me move here? But we had to wait because there's a tax thing. If you don't own your house for 2 years, you'll have to pay property, whatever. But so we've been there pushing 3 years now, getting close. So anyway, we fell to buy it, and the Lord told to look for, we have certain things that he confirms things with us. We both had to be in agreement, say that agreement. It's important that you're in agreement with your spouse. If you're not married, you just have to be in agreement with the word. I'll be in agreement with you if it's the word. So we need to move closer. So we talked to my parents, said we want to move closer. We want to be closer so that we can help out a little bit. Because, you know, mom and her fitness activities and all your Olympic training, you need a coach. And I'm here for you. Oh, I love my mom. I'm going to serve you Braunschweiger before too long. But we told Kim's mom, and as soon as we told Kim's mom, she started, I just love Charlotte. She just started crying. She said, that's been part of my prayer. And I'm like, well, we didn't want to move 30 miles away. So now he's told us both to move closer. So we're doing that. We're believing God just like I believed for the forerunner. So this is what he told me this morning. We're going to sow. Kim and I are going to sow. And I've taught you that, but we'll go through that again. If you're new here, there's no mumbo jumbo and all that. It's nothing like that. It's just laws. There's laws of gravity. There's laws of sowing and reaping. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest. And in soon coming, we'll demonstrate how the kingdom works. Doesn't matter what the item is. We need to move closer. He told us to move closer so we know we're in his will. In that, you need to understand how important that is to be able to sow and believe. There's a whole other thing about Luke says, you know, give and it'll be given back to you. Good measure. You remember that? Pressed down, shaking together, running over, men given to your bosom. There's a teaching on the measure. I never knew that before. And I was like, that's interesting. So the Lord told us a measure. In other words, here's what to sow. So if there's, you know, sometimes it might only be $5 or $1 or whatever. There's times he's had us sow thousands of dollars and people be, really? Yes. But by being obedient and doing that, it puts things in motion that only God could do. So Kim and I are going to sow. We've already agreed today. And we're going to sow. And in the near future, I'll be able to show you and be able to give God glory and praise at the outcome of the house and what he did and how he did it. And I'm excited to do that. So I guess he just told me, you need to tell them. He wants to demonstrate his kingdom. And he told that through Pastor. And he said, God wants to use you and Kim to do it. And so this morning he said, don't forget, you're the demonstration. So this isn't easy for me because we're more private, even though you see me more than, I mean, I'm a glass house. You know almost all my stories. You know my kids. There's some things that, you know, we sew for or whatever. You know, you would probably never know. People say, how'd that? You know, if you go in my office, there's guitars hanging all around. And those got there by the kingdom. I gave a guitar away, and I get more, and, you know. Or I sewed for one, and I'm rose up. And I want to be the demonstration, and I don't want to be ashamed about it. So because of he is so good to me, I want you to know that he does not love me any more than he loves you. He is no respecter of persons. These laws work for anybody that will use them. And if he can use me to help you find a way out of the rat race to where you can be the demonstration for the kingdom of God, I'm all for it. So bow your heads and close your eyes.